Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Wednesday, February 13th. According to the Denver Post, Colorado's Governor John Hickenlooper told a Senate committee yesterday that state governments should lead the way regulating energy production, including monitoring air and water quality, and the federal government should refrain from imposing stricter standards. Hickenlooper told the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources that Colorado is a national model in how it regulates natural gas extraction. He said he once took a swig of fracking fluid that wasn't tasty, but, quote, "I'm still alive," end quote. Hickenlooper noted that thousands of Colorado jobs have been created by gas and extracting. He said cheap natural gas has helped boost investment in manufacturing and has helped reduce pollution as more coal-fired power plants are replaced with gas-powered ones. The governor said the most important aspect of further development is getting energy companies, the public, and other stakeholders at the same table. In a related story, the New York Times reports that environmental advocates filed a lawsuit this week against a small New York town for banning discussion of fracking at public meetings. The Natural Resources Defense Council and Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy argue that the board of the town of Sanford violated citizens' right to free speech when it voted unanimously last September to ban discussion of fracking during the public comment sections of town board meetings. The suit asked the U.S. District Court to declare the ban unconstitutional and to prevent the board from enforcing its vote. Sanford, with a population of about 2,400, sits atop a section of the gas-rich Marcellus Shale that extends across the border into Pennsylvania. A huge crowd turned out at the state capitol on Tuesday for a hearing on two key Democratic gun proposals. One measure would require universal background checks for gun purchases. The other would ban high-capacity magazines. Both bills passed their first test, the House Judiciary Committee. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
A line that wrapped around the Capitol building formed long before lawmakers began their morning session. Inside the hearing room, many in the crowd were sporting stickers reading, "I vote pro-gun." Things got testy right away when Democratic Representative Beth McCann of Denver took to the podium to explain her bill requiring universal background checks on all gun purchases.
If you wanted to get a gun and you knew you wouldn't be able to pass the background check that we currently require, you would go to a private seller or the internet and you would get your gun. What's the point of having the background check if we have this enormous loophole?
The crowd murmured and people even booed when McCann touched on Second Amendment rights.
Constitutional rights can be limited by reasonable restrictions by government action. It's a reasonable regulation, just as our current background checks are.
Okay.
According to gun control advocates, about 40% of guns purchased nationwide are through private sellers, which don't require background checks. David Chipman is a former agent for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms. He calls the loophole reckless, irresponsible, and dangerous. He says background checks are just one part of the solution.
After Virginia Tech, I thought never again. After Tucson, I thought never again. After Aurora, I thought never again. But after Sandy Hook, I shuddered as I thought to myself, because this is going to happen again, and it will unless we act now.
But opponents say background checks won't prevent mass shootings. They also worry background checks between private individuals would be impossible to enforce and lead to a government-run gun registry. Douglas Howell testified that lawmakers are responding emotionally, not rationally.
Government keeps extending their power and taking away our rights. I've had guns since I was 16 years old, and not one of them has gotten up and shot anybody.
Others say it will make it more difficult for them to legally sell a gun and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Ronald Dietz says the conversation on preventing violence and shootings shouldn't even be focused on guns. He told the story of his 20-year-old son who had Asperger's syndrome and couldn't function socially.
When I went to get him help, they put him on antidepressant drugs.
as I saw my son on these drugs go downhill, he became more suicidal and he became violent. He became wanting to hurt people and attack people. These drugs are very dangerous. They are killer drugs. They turn people into killers.
Dietz says his son eventually committed suicide, but worries he could have been just like the Newtown shooter. And after a roughly six-hour hearing, the House Judiciary Committee passed the bill on a party-line vote of 7-4. Gun advocates were also on hand to oppose a measure banning high-capacity magazines. Phil Olson from Colorado Springs works for an insurance company. He says he took the day off to attend the hearing.
Nobody on either side of this issue wants bad people to have guns. Nobody wants people to be shot. I lost my own brother to gun violence, but do I want to be caught in the middle of Katrina or a snowstorm like we just had, or a hurricane where there are no police services and I can't defend myself? How can we say we should limit that for the people from which all political powers derive?
Democratic Representative Rhonda Fields of Aurora is the bill's main sponsor. She's a staunch gun control advocate whose own son was shot in 2005. She says she wants to prevent other families from losing a loved one to senseless gun violence.
High-capacity magazines were designed for one thing, to kill large numbers of people as quickly as possible. They have no place in our community, and they have no place in our streets.
But Democrats aren't united on the bill, and some worry it's too extreme. Against the wishes of the sponsor, the Democratic Control Committee passed an amendment to raise the magazine limit from 10 to 15 rounds of ammunition. It still wasn't enough to get any Republican support for magazine limits. The measure ultimately passed along party lines and now goes to the full House for further debate. I'm Benta Berkland.
House Bill 1061, called the Responsible Medical Marijuana Vendors Bill, sailed through the Colorado legislature this week. It will create a training program for medical marijuana workers, similar to a program for liquor store employees. Meanwhile, the Associated Press reports that regulators in Colorado are grappling with how to make sure that the nation's first legal marijuana industry will offer products that are safe. Since pot remains illegal under federal law, some say it's up to the state to protect consumers from mold, mildew, or unwanted chemicals on the product, and to provide for accurate labeling. Critics say medical marijuana regulations are too lax, and that any new regulations for recreational marijuana should be stringent and rigorously enforced. Colorado has one testing facility for marijuana potency and content, but the Denver-based CAN Labs is used by pot consumers and sellers, not state regulators. The state requires labels on edible pot, including an ingredient list and recommended expiration date. Potency and dosage are currently left to the buyer to figure out. There are detailed production safety guidelines and a 3-page list of pesticides and other chemicals that cannot be used on marijuana, including arsenic and mercury. But in Colorado's 3-year history regulating medical marijuana production, the state has levied no enforcement actions for a safety or sanitary violation. As the Republican Party recovers after a tough election cycle, some Colorado lawmakers are hoping a bill to give illegal immigrants in-state college tuition will help bridge the gap with Latino voters. Just last year, Republicans defeated a similar measure when they controlled the state house. But as Benta Berkland reports, a few freshman GOP lawmakers are taking a different stance on the issue.
Senator Owen Hill hails from a heavily conservative district in Colorado Springs, but that didn't stop the newly elected politician from being the first Senate Republican to vote in favor of the in-state tuition measure. Hill says the bill lines up with free market principles.
We have got to make sure as many people who want to come and work here can, as long as they're going to follow our laws and our rules. Just like we say to anybody who wants to import things, whether it's Japanese cars or clothes from Cambodia, it doesn't matter. We say let the best come and succeed in a free market.
Senate Bill 33 would give in-state college tuition rates to children who are in the country legally. The students must have attended a Colorado high school for 3 years, graduated, and be accepted to college. They also have to apply for citizenship. Democrats have brought forward a similar measure 6 times before. Senator Michael Johnston of Denver is the bill's main sponsor and says the politics now make it easier for Republicans to support it.
People realize if you are not going to be open to common sense solutions on this, it's much harder for you to appeal to a broad base of Coloradans who would support you in an election. And it's because more and more people in the public are demanding common sense solutions and not ideological ones, you know, and it doesn't help anybody to say we're going to really punish a 17-year-old valedictorian and prevent her from going to college and that will solve the immigration problem.
For Hispanic voters in Colorado, education has consistently ranked as a top issue, even above immigration reform.
I don't know why we have been stuck in this political quagmire.
That's Bill Vidal. He heads the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce based in Denver. And Vidal says GOP support for the tuition bill won't go unnoticed by the Hispanic community.
Obviously, it's not that surprising to see some movement when you think about what happened with the presidential elections this past November. It is immaterial to me what motivates people to vote for something one way or the other, but it is always gratifying to see people moving towards doing the right thing.
Republican attorney Mario Nicholas, who's worked on several high-profile political campaigns, says being more open is a direction the party needs to take.
It's not reinventing, recreating. It's returning to roots, really looking at our principles. And the Republican Party has always been about individual rights and empowering those communities outside of government. This is that type of bill.
And Senator Owen Hill isn't the only Republican backer at the State House. Freshman Senator Larry Crowder of Alamosa says voting yes is a no-brainer. Crowder comes from a largely Hispanic part of the state and says his vote has nothing to do with the national discussion.
You got to realize I'm fifth-generation Coloradan, so I've lived around Hispanics all my life. My ancestors have done the same thing. What we should do is we should give them a helping hand.
It may make sense for Crowder, but Republican Senator Kent Lambert from Colorado Springs doesn't understand why there is growing GOP support for the bill. Lambert says it clearly violates Republican fundamentals and federal immigration laws.
People want to come here. Everybody in the world just about wants to come here to work in the United States. I think it's unfair to single out, you know, one group of people that are here illegally, and we need to respect those people who go through the process.
A few other Republican lawmakers say they're still on the fence about the measure, but with Democrats in control of the state legislature, it's expected to pass easily. Democrats say it's an idea whose time has come, and they're happy to have some Republicans on board, whether it's for political, policy, or personal reasons. I'm Benta Berkland at the State House.
And that concludes your local newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, I'm Eric Gould. Have a great hump day, everybody, and thanks for listening.